Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great. This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. Wisconsin is celebrating Defense Week in the state this week with a series of events supporting the state's defense industry and encouraging other businesses to get involved. While Wisconsin is routinely ranked as a top manufacturing state, nationally we're ranked 29th in terms of defense contracting and other spending. Our guests today are Todd Stryker, who is co-founder and president of Cyber Nines, as well as a board member for the National Defense Industrial Association, Great Lakes Chapter.
That's right.
That's right.
Thank
and we
you.
Have Ina Willemsen, who is the president and executive director of the Wisconsin Procurement Institute, and Bill Berrien, who is the CEO of Pendel Global Precision and chairman of the Wisconsin Defense Industry Council. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
So to start with, I want to make sure that we're talking to our viewers about why you are engaged in the defense industry. So let's get a summary from each of you.
Sure. So my company, Cyber Nines, is dedicated in helping the defense industrial base contend with regulatory requirements for cybersecurity. There's about 300,000 companies in the defense industrial base, and about 80,000 of them are going to need to be third-party assessed for compliance to strict frameworks. So that's where my mission is as Cyber Nines, but I'm also a board of director of NDIA, National Defense Industrial Association, the Great Lakes chapter, and that is really about informing and educating the defense industrial base.
Get more engagement in the defense industrial base.
Get more engagement, yeah.
Ina, what is your role in the defense industry?
I'm with the Wisconsin Procurement Institute, as you mentioned. We're a 38-year-old nonprofit organization here in Milwaukee that was originally started by Les Aspin, which if someone's on the older side, they'd know who that was.
Former right? congressman from
Congressman,
Wisconsin.
And mm-hmm. then after that, Secretary of Defense. And our mission is to provide technical assistance to our state's defense contractors, federal contractors, state and local contractors, everything from evaluating if there's potential, helping them with compliance. I'm also on the NDIA Board of Directors and also the NCMA, National Contract Management Association Board of Directors, to assist businesses technically to make sure they can locate opportunities, comply, and deliver to the Defense Department.
And help grow the industry in Wisconsin.
And help grow the industry in Wisconsin, absolutely.
Bill, you head up a manufacturing group that is participating in the defense industry.
Yes, indeed. Earlier in my career, I served for about 9 years in the Navy SEAL teams. Love that service. And for the last 13, I've been the owner and CEO of Pendel Global Precision. So we're a contract manufacturer of precision machine parts to global companies, and a few years back we incubated another company, Liberty Precision, to specifically focus on the defense, munitions, space, and aerospace industries. A year ago I was asked to co-chair and now chair, vice chair and now chair, the Wisconsin Defense Industry Council, which was created by WMC and MMAC, with the specific goal of creating a defense cluster in Wisconsin. And the statistics you offered at the beginning are very motivating, because there's a tremendous amount of opportunity to position probably one of the best and most robust manufacturing ecosystems in the national interest to contribute more to the defense industrial base.
And that's why we're here today talking about mm-hmm. Defense Week. So Todd, I want to help our viewers understand, when we talk about the defense sector in mm-hmm. Wisconsin, who is that? Who comprises the defense sector?
So manufacturers, like what Bill does, and then IT and cybersecurity, like what Cyber Nines does, but it can get into health, and well, let me got a little bit of a list here
sure.
of all of these here.
That's a lot of jobs, small businesses.
Yeah. Shipbuilding and marine, heavy equipment and vehicle production, aerospace technologies, tool and dies, plastics, mm-hmm. a lot of plastics companies. Think about any, you know, if you're talking about an aircraft carrier, right? It's a city on the water, right? So all the things that need to be put into an aircraft carrier, the assemblies and then down to the parts and everything that makes that thing go, that's up almost every
that
industry,
can be done
right?
in Wisconsin. I know when you're helping businesses mm-hmm. to apply for contracts, you must see the impact on Wisconsin's economy of all of these pieces.
It's very significant, and the numbers that we can see publicly don't really show the full impact. We currently have over 500 direct contractors. We have two very significant contractors in the state, right? Mm-hmm. Fink and Terry Marinette Marine, Oshkosh Corporation, Oshkosh Defense, one in shipbuilding, one in vehicles. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, too, we have things like Durco Aerospace, which is a Lockheed company here in Milwaukee, things like McNally Industries. We have a plethora, Fairbanks Morse. Mm-hmm.
Fair to say tens of thousands of jobs connected
absolutely.
To those contracts.
Mom and pop shops, just, you know, people with maybe one or five employees that make a specific part that goes into an assembly that goes
the legacy system
up the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I mean, up to, you know, hundreds of employees to thousands of employees.
Well, as you know, the U.S. Department of Defense publishes an annual report on defense spending across states, and the latest report was published in October of last year. The Department of Defense says defense spending, including contracts, payroll, and grants in all 50 states, totaled $609.2 billion in fiscal year 2023. A majority of that, 71%, was obligated through contracts for products and services like we've been discussing. In FY23, Wisconsin got $4.8 billion in total defense funding, of which $4.1 billion went toward contracts. We can compare to Illinois, which received $7.8 billion in defense contract funding. This graphic that folks are looking at shows Wisconsin's top defense contract spending locations, like Ina mentioned, the largest of which many viewers may know as Oshkosh Defense and Marinette Marine. Wisconsin's share of total U.S. defense spending is just 0.8%. So, Bill, I want to ask you, mm-hmm. We know Wisconsin doesn't have a large military base like many other states
correct.
Do. So that accounts for some of that discrepancy in defense department funding. But we are a top manufacturing state. Mm-hmm. So what are the reasons why we aren't getting a bigger slice of that contracting pie?
Well, Lisa, a lot of the reasons come down to, you know, historically lack of relationships with the defense primes that are often on the coasts and had a legacy supply base, you know, outside of Wisconsin. And so that, while WDIC is both trying to help Wisconsin companies directly supply DOD, probably even the bigger opportunity is to connect the procurement teams of the defense primes with, you know, this tremendously robust manufacturing ecosystem that we have here that, you know, historically hasn't been deployed to, you know, assist the nation's effort in that way.
So once again, part of the reason for Defense Week and all the work that you'll be doing over the next 3 days. I now want to ask you, for viewers, why should Wisconsinites care about Wisconsin's ranking and our level of participation in the defense industry?
The defense industry is supported by solid companies with often good-paying jobs. Mm-hmm. We see the results in the state. And it's not just manufacturing. If I could just, I'll get out of the scope of manufacturing mm-hmm. a little bit. Mm-hmm. We just talked about technology. Mm-hmm. We're talking about things like health insurance, right? TRICARE is logistics health. That also comes mm-hmm. out of the pool. So we're not just talking manufacturing here. We're also talking construction. So we have military bases here. We have the, you know, Fort McCoy. We have Volk Field, the 128th. They mm-hmm. all are supported by businesses here in the area. And again, they're everything from catering to high technology to R&D. So we're just not looking at manufacturing from where I sit. We're looking at a much larger opportunity here.
So that could mean more jobs
absolutely.
In your hometown, your community.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Todd, you mentioned cybersecurity as in part of your introduction, part of the work that you do. That's been a main concern for the National Defense Industrial Association, of which you are a chapter board member. In their annual Vital Signs report I was reading, they say the private sector will face an annualized cost of $4 billion to implement required cybersecurity standards, estimating a cost of more than $100,000 for 3 years of compliance for even small companies. How can small companies like those that Ina has mentioned, how can they afford to participate with this level of regulatory cost?
They're struggling to, right? And there are means developing to help fund these smaller businesses, SBA. There's some things happening on SBA that will allow them to, you know, get some funding to help contend with that. But it's a conundrum. Our CEO, Scott Singer, testified in Congress about this exact issue about three, four years ago when we first got started. And it's been slow going. It needs to ramp up, and that's one of the things that we need to really bring awareness to and create within this ecosystem is to tie in the partners that can help contend with that and help some of these companies. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they're going to go out of that business, right? They're not going to serve on defense contracts because they'll need to be certified that they meet these requirements, and if they can't pay the costs, they're not going to get the contracts.
And I'm guessing for some of these small companies, they don't have to worry about cybersecurity for other parts of their business. So this is something new that they're having to learn and implement?
Exactly. They're just really not that mature with their IT and the way that they go about managing their connections to the internet and data and such. To know how to contend with all these things. That's what we help as consultants with that, and then we also are assessors to help to do that certification when they get to that point.
Bill, that National Defense Industrial Association mm-hmm. report that I mentioned talks kind of overall how companies involved in the defense industry, they say, are weighed down with government policy, statutory and regulatory requirements that both increase cost, stifle speed, and stifle innovation. What would you say are the policies that need to change to kind of address those big hurdles?
Well, Lisa, I mean, when you look at Wisconsin's administrative burden, 165,000, administrative items, regulations in the code, 13th most in the whole nation.
So I mean, just in Wisconsin alone.
Just in Wisconsin alone. And then you see, the opportunity with, extending the Trump tax cuts to incentivizing business investment in the state, whether it's, bringing bonus depreciation up to 100% again, R&D expensing, protecting Section 179, real opportunity here to, combine the impact of the tariffs, the tailwind the tariffs provide with, every encouragement for businesses to invest in Wisconsin and grow in Wisconsin. Very powerful.
Combination of reduced regulatory burden and increased incentives that can
Correct.
Really make a difference.
Correct.
The challenges that we've all been talking about really are the reason for your Defense Week events over the next 3 days starting tomorrow. I know you had a breakfast this morning, but the main event starting Tuesday, May 13th. Let's look at the schedule there. The first event is the Wisconsin Defense Industry Council Annual Conference organized by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. That event will have a policy focus and is taking place in Pewaukee. On Wednesday, the focus is on navigating compliance risks, including cybersecurity, with speakers and discussion organized by the NDIA Great Lakes chapter, and that will take place in Brookfield. And then finally, on Thursday, the 11th Annual Department of Defense Contract Management Update, organized by the Wisconsin Procurement Institute, will feature government and other industry experts, and that's taking place also in Brookfield. So, Ina, I'll start by asking you, who will be attending these events?
We have a great slate of speakers this year. We have everyone from Oshkosh to Fincantieri to Durco to McNally. We have attorneys attending, heavy on the manufacturing because that is our focus of this event. Every May, as it says, the 11th annual, every May we put together focusing on an update for manufacturers in the Department of Defense marketplace. So we also have the Defense Contract Management Association coming on the that side, and then we, then highlighting Defense Logistics Agency is coming out of Columbus, Ohio. A lot of Wisconsin small manufacturers are suppliers to the Defense Logistics Agency, so we have people coming out from their organization to meet with suppliers and talk about how they can reach out and do more business with them.
Todd, who are some of the key speakers and topics that you're looking forward to?
Well, we've got a couple of, well, the U.S. Army Colonel Susan Diepensteyer. She's the director of land supply operations and logistics. She's going to be one of our keynotes. And then David Kessler is vice president at BAE. There are a couple big ones that help kick it off. And then we've got some panel discussions that relate to ITAR and CUI. When it comes to cybersecurity, the big thing is that all of these companies that are helping build these parts get the DoD's data, and it's classified as controlled unclassified information. This is what our foreign adversaries are stealing, China especially, right? And this, the program's CMMC is going to be a big feature in this. That program is really about stopping this from happening, you know, helping these companies get the right policies and technology and procedures in place.
There'll be a lot of interest in that particular discussion.
A lot of interest in that. You know, and what it all means, you know, legally. I mean, we're talking about regulations. It all comes down to laws, and there's reasons for those laws, right? But maybe, you know, we can clean them up and improve them. But certainly we cannot let our nation's secrets be stolen, and at a cost of trillions of dollars in R&D, and then have weapons be used against us.
So there's that balance.
Yeah, there's this balance
between being compliant and safe, but
right.
also providing a landscape for manufacturers to really participate in the industry. Bill, what do you hope are the main takeaways for participants of these events?
Well, it's the event we're holding is we have about 200 participants who are vastly oversubscribed, which is great to see. Most of them are manufacturers. We have Terry Emmert, who is one of the leaders of DARPA, coming to be a guest speaker. So that's a very powerful and sort of unusual guest to have in one of those type of environments.
What is DARPA?
Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. So they basically they truly invented the internet. So looking at next level research and development, you're really at the scientific frontier. And so he's going to be coming to talk about the manufacturing challenges of near peer competition, and how we need to think differently, more aggressively about our manufacturing capabilities and ability to sort of leverage a terrific manufacturing ecosystem. Great lineup, great attendees, great speaker, and we're hoping to have an opportunity to engage our members and make those connections both with the defense primes as well as incorporating best practices around the CMMC certifications and how to engage with WPI and other entities. So,
Ina, is there a particular presentation or speaker that you're really looking forward to?
All of them. As a matter of fact, right before this, I was out of breath because I was emailing everybody just to make sure everybody was on schedule. But the Defense Logistics Agency coming out is very significant for smaller and medium-sized manufacturers. DCMA coming out, they're the ones that approve the shipments and are the ones that pay people, having Oshkosh there and are, Fink and Terry there, and Durko talking about the Mentor-Protege program, which is a big deal right now in the Department of Defense. So I'm looking forward to everyone coming together, getting to know each other. Like you said, it's important to get to know each other. They have to be competitive. And to be competitive, they have to know what they're going after, what the rules are, what the compliance is. And a lot of this is an investment. And the investment that they make in things like cybersecurity and CMMC and everything else, the competitiveness will help them not just in the Defense Department, on defense contracts. It'll help them in general. They'll be able to be more competitive in the general manufacturing marketplace. Mm-hmm. So there's a secondary piece
benefit
to this
sure,
that's very important.
Bill, I want to ask you, you mentioned tariffs. We know there's been a lot of changes at the federal level with the new administration, policy changes around foreign policy, around federal spending, around trade. Does this create any uncertainty for Wisconsin businesses that might want or maybe interested in coming into the defense sector?
Well, it's really interesting. Since the tariffs came into effect, we've seen a dramatic uptick in requests for quote that we've seen from manufacturers across the country and also outside of the country. So very optimistic about the impact of the tariffs that we're seeing.
You think they're a good thing for the defense industry?
I do, because it's. That reindustrialization that President Trump is driving is, very powerful, and offers, an opportunity and a motivation to make more in Wisconsin and in the U.S. And where we are making more in general, it also offers the opportunity to make more for the defense industrial base.
Ina, do you anticipate there might be some questions around some of these changes in federal policies, people trying to navigate what they anticipate could be the impact of tariffs?
Always. I mean, I've been doing this for 28 years, so this is nothing. I would say the details are new, the cycle isn't new, the pendulum swings. We have companies in Wisconsin that have been in defense contracting for two digits of years. It's a great marketplace. It's one that has a bit of a hurdle to get into, right? Once they're in there, though, it's a great customer. We recommend it to any manufacturer that has the capability to meet the requirements. We encourage them not to necessarily make it their whole marketplace, right?
Diversify.
Not be 100. Always diversify, maybe 30% to 50%, because the pendulum swings. It'll always swing back
There's
and forth.
Politics.
Politics comes into play, which. We can't stop the bus. So it's once you get into this and you're aware of what's going on, it's a very good customer. It's a solid customer. They pay. If you make it, they pay.
That's
a big deal, right? That's part of...
Cash is king.
Cash is king. There you go.
Todd, I want to ask you this question. We know that President Trump has faced criticism around these tariff policies and the potential uncertainty and threatening the prices on goods and services coming into the country. Is there a potential for some parts and supplies to be caught up in the supply chain lag? Is that something you think that businesses involved in the defense sector could be concerned about?
Yes, I think there are certain supplies that are going to be hard. And that's been some of the criticisms a bit on the tariffs is, one, it's kind of going back and forth on, well, what is it going to happen or not happen? But then, for any normal business, there might not be the ability to make these parts in the United States. And that will certainly be the case in certain cases for the defense industry as well. The goal is good, though. And Rockwell just announced that, they're going to bring jobs back from Canada and bring them back to Wisconsin. That's awesome.
Powerful.
It's going to take time to do these things, though, right? It just does. Tariffs are usually a shorter term sort of mechanism, but the actuality of bringing jobs back and reinventing some of the manufacturing that we don't have the capability to, it's just going to take a long
remains
time.
Remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. Bill, I need to ask you, I know you've been mentioned as a potential candidate for governor in 2026. You announced the creation of a political action committee, and in that announcement it says, Wisconsin is on the path toward a manufacturing renaissance, and specifically that there is a growth opportunity with the manufacturing reindustrialization in the U.S. and President Trump's crackdown on China. So broadly, what do you see as the future of manufacturing in Wisconsin?
Lisa, mine is a message of real optimism. We have in Wisconsin, 125-year-old manufacturing ecosystem that is one of the best in the world. We have a highly trained and a highly trainable workforce. And if we can, enable that workforce with automation and in the future AI, I see a path to making Wisconsin the manufacturing powerhouse to the world, again. We were once known as a small internal combustion engine capital of the world, a small motor capital of the world, the famous World Fair poster, Milwaukee feeds and supplies the world. So I really see that path. And if the experience that I've had at Pindell is any indication, we have invested in automation. We have trained the team that has always been working for us to master this automation. And that has allowed each person to create more value and in turn capture more value. And we've seen with those investments in the technology and the upskilling, you know, wages, those closest to the automation have doubled, if not tripled, their wage in 10 years. And I think that's a model that we can spread across Wisconsin, you know, the manufacturing state that we are, but across, frankly, all industries. You know, whether it's in manufacturing, whether it's out, if we invest in the workforce that's already out there, you know, I think tremendous opportunity to realize wage growth.
Right, and, future.
Yep.
Todd, your expertise in cybersecurity, what do you see as the future for Wisconsin in terms of AI and cybersecurity? Is there something that state policymakers can do?
I don't know if there's, I can't point to anything particular for state lawmakers at this time. Obviously, AI requires a lot of computing power, right? And data centers and that kind of thing. And there's been a lot of activity to try to bring more computing power to Wisconsin, build these data centers. Microsoft has been an investor in that, and then there's others. And I think it's if there's anything that the state legislative group can do, is to help support that growth, right? I mean, let's work with these kind of companies to make Wisconsin attractive for them to be, right?
Sure. Ina, as we close out our conversation, at the end of Defense Week, and when all the events are complete, what do you hope these events will have accomplished?
I hope it will show that it is doable, that it can be Defense Department can be a great customer, that it is doable, that there's resources here in our state, that there's partnerships and networks that do exist, like NDIA, NCMA, WPI. There's national connections, there's local connections, that this is possible. We can be competitive, and we can be competitive with businesses from any other state in the country.
What are next steps for your three organizations? These events are collaboration amongst the three of you. What does that look like going forward?
There's so much synergy in all that we're doing, mm-hmm. right? And you know, the opportunity is for us to keep working together, keep informing each other about, okay, you're taking this, and we're taking that, just continue to build a collaborative environment, an ecosystem, you know, and build continue to build ecosystem partners in this defense space. And NDIA can do that at the national level and the regional level, and then extends into Wisconsin. You guys are more focused in Wisconsin. We keep making it better together.
Bill, we started the show talking about this ranking of Wisconsin nationally, 29th mm-hmm. in terms of our share of defense contracting. What's reasonable to think in 5 years where we could be with that ranking if all of this effort it goes forward?
Well, I would really like to see us break above 20. And I think what you're going to see from WDIC is in the next year, matchmaking events. So trying to encourage the defense primes to send their procurement teams here to have almost like dating or speed dating matchmaking sessions with manufacturers from in the state. And I think that relationship building is going to be very powerful, that in conjunction with teaching and educating those manufacturers on how to be CMMC compliant, if they have an opportunity to directly supply, DOD, working with the Wisconsin Procurement Institute. I think those are all great opportunities. But I would love to see us over the next 5 years, break through that 20th mark, and then beyond.
We will check back then with you in 5 years to see if that happens. Well, good luck with your events this week.
Thank you.
Nice talking with you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah. And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great. Newsmakers is a production of Wisconsin Eye. You have been watching a production of Wisconsin Eye, your unfiltered window into legislative deliberations and public policy programming, where our mission is to provide Wisconsinites an opportunity to access the legislative process and connect with conversations that inform our citizenry. Please consider supporting our mission, and thank you for watching. Wisconsin Eye, policy made public.